Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jacket. He talks about Matt almost with awe. Herbert launches downfield. It's Johnson in stride. Touchdown, Chargers. 60 yards. Justin Herbert just flicks it, and afterwards.
Chris Fowler there on the call. Justin Herbert.
The Chargers are calling a passing game. I don't know what's going on right now.
It's early. I kind of like the shout for him to maybe be early MVP favorite, one of them, because of that feeling around. They're going to run the ball a lot. They're throwing. Oh, they're winning. Chiefs are 0-2, might win the division.
I don't understand.
Keep an eye on the Chargers, baby. Keep an eye on the Chargers.
I don't understand what's going on.
Keep an eye on the Chargers.
Remember how we said the Mirage and Oasis?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I've now likened it to painting the accurate picture. What is the Chargers' picture? That's going to be something I'm very interested in going forward.
We'll also see on that as well, Khalil Mack getting images done on his elbow. That injury, I did not see that one live. Saw it this morning. An arm is not supposed to bend that way, and that would be a massive blow for them. And also, Khalil Mack as well, for his career, it is getting towards the end for him. He's been able to put up very good numbers here at the end of his career with the Chargers. That would be an injury, though. You do wonder how much longer he's got in his NFL career. It is 11 o'clock on a Tuesday, and with that, our top five primetime performers. It's been a good week, Derek. It's been a very, very good week. A lot of performances.
It was
a lot of good ones. Hard to come up with this list.
Too good of a week, even. We said we had problems last week.
This week was very, very good. With that, we'll go to the guys that just missed out. Just missed. For me to start, this one was painful. In some ways, I had to come back to it.
Right.
Wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase for the Bengals.
14, he's on your flowers.
He's on my flowers. 14 for 165 and a touchdown. It was a great week for wide receivers. Genuinely a great week for wide receivers. I think what almost made me forget about Ja'Marr Chase's performance, Jake Browning was the quarterback. And Browning, look, they're going to have to ride whatever he's got for the next however many weeks. I mean, what, 3 months, Joe Burrow's going to be out. The Jaguars lost that game. The Bengals not win that. Jake Browning throws three picks, and the Jaguars lose that game. That is a tough look right there.
The first player I'm giving my flowers to on the other side of the football, I'm going with 39-year-old defensive tackle Calais Campbell.
Yeah.
He had two sacks.
Ageless wonder, baby.
Ageless wonder. The man has had himself an incredible career. He's a Hall of Famer in my book, and I hope that he gets into Canton because he's had such a long career, a long productive career, and he already now, in week two, gets two sacks on this season, his age 39 season. Calais Campbell, keeping it going, bringing the boom, helping the Cardinals.
Next honorable mention for me, quarterback Russell Wilson. A wonderful day. If you watched any of that Giants-Cowboys game, it was an offensive fireworks show. It was great. Wilson's deep ball was back over 400 yards. Three touchdowns, including a game-tying one. We'll get to that here in a little bit. Problem was an awful pick in overtime that ultimately does see his team lose that game against Dallas. I wanted to get Wilson on this, but there were so many great performances. That one pick is gonna dock it. It just is. They lose the game because of that.
Similarly, same game, different player, Malik Nabers on my give him flowers list because of the fact that it's being shown that Kaiir Elam is giving up the most yards in the NFL right now. This typically seems like a Cowboy stat too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But who's covering Neighbors on what should have been the game-winning touchdown?
Yep. Not good.
But there was also so many amazing things that happened that somebody has to get bumped on the list. And one of those players for me is Malik Neighbors.
Next up for me, sticking with that game, kicker Brandon Aubrey for the Cowboys.
I have Aubrey as well.
I have a tough time putting a kicker on the top five performances. I have no issue putting them on the honorable mentions. 4 for 4, including the kick to force overtime.
60-yard bomb.
And the kick to win the game in overtime, both of them at the death. I think that's the first time that's ever happened. He's like automatic. Me and Mike Shope were talking during one of the breaks in postgame as that game was wrapping up. We both got to a point of like, I think you just let Aubrey kick it. Like, just run it, set up the spot, and let him kick it. That's exactly what the Cowboys did. Surefire. Loved it. It was great. Great drama at the end there.
Exactly. I do have one more player on the list here. Mm-hmm. Since you went into Aubrey in detail, I just wanted to throw in that he's on there. Joey Bosa. I would love to put a Bills defender on there after the week that they had against the Jets. Unfortunately, though, there was so much that happened. Bosa gets bumped down to the honorable mentions list here, but I'm going to give him his flowers. 2 forced fumbles. He has 3 already on the season. The next best is 1. Nobody else has 2 yet.
It's incredible. Last one for me is actually an entire unit. It's the Falcons defensive line. They had J.J. McCarthy in fits. We are now at a point. It's one good quarter through 2 games for J.J. McCarthy, and he's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. 6 sacks on the day, including both their rookies getting a sack as well. The Falcons may have a pass rush, and that is exciting for Falcons fans. They have been hunting that down, it feels like, for 15 years.
And timing is everything. Because do we want to get into the top 5?
Let's get into the top 5. I'll start at 5, only because
I was going to say I should continue on right now because number 5 is the Falcons defense.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, so we're going to have a similar kind of MO here with
yes.
this. So you got the Falcons defense.
I've got the 5. Entire defense as a whole here because of the fact that it was an unreal dominance of the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. You mentioned the pass rush. It is also something that needs to be mentioned here. The rookie safeties, Xavier Watson, Billy Bowman, who was on a visit with the Bills. I'm not mad. Each of them has an interception of J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, that Falcons defense, they may have hit a home run there.
They also recover 2 fumbles. Mm-hmm. So 6 sacks, 2 picks, 2 fumble recoveries. Dominance. And you've got to give a shout-out to a defense that I do believe allowed the least amount of points in week 2. I thought the Bills would be able to keep it with the Jets there at 10. The Falcons went ahead and said, hold my beer.
So where I was going to go with this, at number 5 for me, because you had mentioned him on your honorable mentions, for me it is Joey Bosa.
Yep.
I think he has been everything the Bills have wanted. He gets 1 sack, 2 forced fumbles, 7 pressures as well. I think that all only comes in about 15 pass rushing snaps. He's looked like a revelation for the Bills. I've already seen a lot of people tweeting about how this is what the Bills wanted from Von Miller. You can even argue, too, to start both their Bills careers, Bosa's been better. Now, Von looked like this through his first half of his first year.
First 8 games.
But arguably, Bosa's looked better. You mentioned it, 3 forced fumbles in 2 games, 2 of them, though, against the Jets. And arguably, Bosa kind of destroys the Jets' offensive game plan almost single-handedly.
Right off the rip.
Yeah, right off the rip. Just an incredible performance for him. So, number 5 for me, Joey Bosa. Number 4, Derek?
Number 4, I'm going back to Thursday Night Football.
Okay.
Because sometimes it's not just about the stat line. It's not just about the performance. It's also about the statement. And for me, that's Jordan Love with the Green Bay Packers. 19 of 31, so it's not the most efficient of nights. 292 yards, 2 touchdowns. But it is also about the Washington Commanders were seen as this, you know, up-and-coming group. A team that should be seen as a threat for years to come. And the Packers, the question is, just how much of this hype is warranted? And right now, Love is the leader of this team. He is playing well, and they made a statement on Thursday night, and that statement is, yeah, those betting odds that increased with us going to the Super Bowl, they're warranted.
They're warranted.
They're warranted, and it is about a statement. And the Packers, with Jordan Love at the helm, look as capable as any to get through the NFC.
Number 4 for me is going to go much more with the situation that the guy was thrust into. You could also arguably give this kind of spot to his coach, but Mac Jones. Backup quarterback for the 49ers gets thrown into spot duty and arguably has his best game ever. 279 yards, 3 touchdowns, gets the win over New Orleans. He does this without Kittle. Kyle Juszczyk gets hurt. Brandon Ayuk hasn't even played a snap yet this year. And he looks great. Again, this easily could have been given to Kyle Shanahan, his head coach. There's always been arguments. I'm somebody that is a Brock Purdy hater that thinks a lot of this is due to the coaching. But you know what? Credit Mac Jones. We're going to get to see a lot more backup quarterbacks this week with all the injuries that have happened. I don't know if a single one is going to have a performance like Mac Jones had. Albeit against New Orleans, still gets the win, though. 49ers are 2-0, even with all of these injuries.
Got to take advantage of the situation when it is at hand there. Number three for me is James Cook. Bills had a quiet day rushing the football in week one. The Jets had given up only 53 yards in week one. What does James Cook do? Casually hits that 44-yard home run en route to 132 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. There's no concerns at that point.
That might be my favorite touchdown of his.
Oh, it was so...
That might be my favorite. It's recency bias. I get it, but... I that was beautiful.
The slam dunk against Kansas City is still mine right now.
It's almost unfair because it's the situation that it's in.
The context that it's in and the fact that he uses every modicum of effort that he has to get that ball across the plane is still something to be awed by. But yeah, no, James Cook, number three there on the primetime performers.
Number three for me, wide receiver for the Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown. This is where, it was a hell of a week for wide receivers. I didn't even mention Brandon Ayuk had a 45-yard rushing touchdown. He also added 91 through the air. But for Amon-Ra St. Brown, 9 for 115, 3 touchdowns in an embarrassing loss for the Bears. We'll get to more of that here with my number two pick as well. But Amon-Ra St. Brown continues to be the best slot receiver in football. He is an absolute machine. He is the best friend of Jared Goff. And I think also, like, with that situation, like Ben Johnson, you know, he's really one of the main characters of the build-up to the Lions, and the Lions look dreadful against the Green Bay Packers. Now, through 2 weeks, we can kind of maybe look more to, hey, the Packers might just be that good. But the Lions' offense looked dreadful. And they stormed out in week two, 50-plus points, and Amon-Ra, major factor of that. Again, 9 for 115 and 3 touchdowns. He comes in at number three for me.
And that is a big deal because of the fact that, like, you see the plates are a little wobbly because the Lions lost both their coordinators. They look shaky against the Packers. And, yeah, this might be more of a statement about the Packers now more than anything. Mm-hmm. Or it could be another statement about the Bears, which is not a good thing. Also, remember that god-awful preseason game between the Bills and the Bears?
Yeah, kind of don't matter anymore.
You know, it never matters. And once again, the further points are proven on that sort of thing. Zach, you mentioned something about your number two hinting that it might be another Detroit Lion.
Yeah.
I have St. Brown off of my list, by the way. Oh. That's how crazy this week was. But number two for me is Jared Goff.
Yeah, so we both have the same number two, Jared Goff.
And we can elaborate a little bit more further on this one. Like, 3 touchdowns to St. Brown, but that's 3 of 5 for Jared Goff. 334 yards as the Lions get back on their groove. Again, that was needed. That is kind of an antidote that you needed to see happen because of the fact that if you do not make a statement, have a rebound after the Green Bay game, there's a lot of questions suddenly about Dan Campbell and the Lions. Well, for now, you can put those questions to bed. Why? Dominant performance, and it starts with Goff.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest, you know, another kind of NFC team I can look at and kind of just, you know, wide-eyed, be like, oh, that's so cool for them. Like, the whole thing. I'm really glad that it wasn't, you know, the coordinator, early, the coordinators leaving didn't cause this all to collapse in on itself. Goff looked wonderful, and the Bears, I mean, the early signs there are not good at all with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, the relationship there, what they've got cooking, where Goff continues to really have a wonderful second act of his career, is traded to the Lions ultimately because the Rams don't think he's the guy. The Rams do win a Super Bowl that first year with the guy.
Almost proving the point, even.
Almost proving the point. And instead of Goff kind of wallowing and kind of disappearing into the ether, because he, of course, goes to the Lions, he instead arguably is maybe their best quarterback they've had in 40 years.
And not even that, also lifting the Lions into heights that they didn't see with Stafford.
Yeah.
Who was their best quarterback draft pick and a player that's still very regaled within Lions fans and the fandom.
And that's what, and I'm a big Stafford guy, still am. But it's the heights that Goff has taken them to. I think there's a real argument. Goff already maybe better than Lion Stafford.
As a Lion, yeah, it is Jared Goff at this point, and good for him on this one. So it's number one time, and this is just how crazy it all got. You had mentioned Ja'Marr Chase already. I had not.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow goes down with injury, and this stops nothing with Ja'Marr Chase. 14 catches, 165 yards, and a touchdown. And they needed every bit of it.
He does it on 16 targets, too, by the way.
And it's efficient.
Yeah.
But it's he has fed the football because Jake Browning knows the assignment. Ja'Marr Chase is really good. Give him the football.
Mm-hmm.
So now we'll see what happens with Cincinnati. They are, despite everything, 2-0. And, man, they don't ask how, they ask how many. But the how is very interesting. You almost choke against Cleveland. And instead, Cleveland out-duels you in that battle twice.
Going to be a battle of backup quarterbacks, by the way, next week. Carson Wentz versus Jake Browning.
And now you have Jake Browning for a large portion of your season again. The last time this happened, Browning was scrappy.
Mm-hmm.
He kept the Bengals in a playoff conversation until the final week. They were eliminated in week 17. But Jake Browning played well. Now he needs to do it again in order for Joe Burrow's return to be to a playoff contending team. The good news for the Bengals this time around, Jake Browning's not playing behind the eight ball. They have a 2-0 team leading the AFC North.
They've got a cushion, absolutely.
And Ja'Marr Chase is the biggest reason for that, though. My number one primetime player this week.
For me, I had to go back to the Dallas Giants game. I had to get somebody on this because it look, to be perfectly honest, it gave last week's Sunday Night Football a run for its money of game of the year. It goes to overtime. There's huge plays right at the end, the whole thing. Couldn't do it for Russ just because of the pick in overtime. I think Russ really could have had an argument for not just being, you know, an honorable mention, but honestly being like one or two on this list if it weren't for that. But on that, I go with the other wide receiver for the Giants. It's not Wandell Robinson, who had himself a great game. And in part, it's also because of Ja'Marr Chase, why he's not on here. I go with Malik Nabers.
Nine LSU receivers
for 167 and two touchdowns. It's why Chase is off the list. He only has the one He has the one touchdown. Wandell also only has the one touchdown, where Nabers has the game, should have been arguably the game winner. It's an incredible play. He just streaks down the field. He's got two Cowboys defenders on him. Perfectly placed. And he's getting Elam, you know, grabbing at the face mask. It's an unbelievable catch. Nabers, I think, has already two games into his second year. I think most people would argue he's the top five receiver in the sport. I can't believe the Giants have done it again. Odell Beckham Jr., and now they go back to the LSU pipeline with Malik Nabers. He is an otherworldly talent, 9 for 167 and two touchdowns. He's my number one for this week's top five primetime performers. Just, he's an incredible talent to watch.
It's kind of funny how inverse it is, and that's kind of the week that was.
Mm-hmm.
We have an LSU receiver as our number ones, but said LSU receiver is inverse and on the honorable mentions of the others.
Yeah.
But it just tells you how wild the week was that, yeah, we shared Brandon Aubrey on the list, and we shared Jared Goff at number two. But it is vastly different between the two of us there. The Falcons' defense was close.
Yep.
It was honorable mention
same
versus
with,
number
same
five.
Bosa. Same with Bosa.
Same with Bosa. But it is. There's so much variance, though, from it that you have some fun with this. And that is what makes this segment great.
I wanted badly, when it was happening live, I wanted badly to pick one of the special teams from, like, Dolphins or Patriots. I can't do that when you both gave up a special teams touchdown.
I
was so excited. I was like, oh, yes, like I'm going to give it to a
special. I almost gave that sequence.
Sequence is a blast.
The sequence is a blast. That is a beautiful thing to watch as a neutral fan. Like, you don't give anyone flowers for it because one side on both teams got victimized, and it's the defending units. But, man, is that cool. You get a punt return touchdown, and then immediately on the following kickoff, it goes house.
That was great.
But what it looked like to me there.
Two bad teams playing each other, though.
But it's also something that we can circle back to on our main theme here today. It's also how Miami has just been allergic – to taking control of a football game this year.
Mm-hmm.
They had the lead for 12 seconds. They had a lead at another point in that game, but like things started to look like it was going Miami's way. And then immediately, no. You're still in the fight for your life. And then Tua cannot come back. He throws an interception. They have another opportunity, and he takes a sack on fourth down. And the man, I don't even think he had 2 seconds. His lineman got beat so badly. It just, oof. And it goes, and this is where it all comes back to. Can you even trust Miami to win 4 games right now with the offensive line that's currently constructed?
Well, and that's a really good point on that, too. We haven't really been able to touch on their offensive line too much. It's been a lot of their defensive injuries, but Austin Jackson and James Daniels, both on IR, they're the guys on Tua's blind side. They're on the right side of the offensive line. And that's where you're also looking. I mean, I would not be surprised now, coming off the performance they just gave against the Jets, I would be very surprised if the Bills' defense was not licking their chops, going, yeah, we can put some road behind us and that Ravens' performance.
How many sacks do you think New England got on Sunday?
Oh, I actually don't know. Let's go with 4.
You're close.
5?
It's 5. Tua's been sacked 8 times already this year in 2 games. Mm. The Bills, fresh off of a 4-sack performance against the Jets, and Joey Bosa forcing fumbles at a hilarious rate right now, you think that ball's not getting punched out against Tua?
No, I don't like how this shakes up for the Dolphins at all.
No.
I really don't. For me, I look at where they're at and I'm going, this cannot be good. This cannot be good for them.
A Bills defense that is getting home to the quarterback more, plus an offensive line that is just bad, and a quarterback that has already been turning the football over a bunch of times.
Yeah.
That is enough of a recipe to think this is going to be a disaster on Thursday night, and you and I are going to be here at like 1:30 a.m., sitting in these exact seats, going, yeah, that's exactly how we thought this was going to go. It could not. There's a real chance that, you know, things are different, but how do you go into Thursday night thinking that it's not going to be a potential disaster? That's the problem. Miami is just so bad. And even if the Bills weren't this good, it's how they play the Dolphins as of late. But the Bills are this good. And they stabilized any questions that we had about the defense on Sunday.
Yeah, stabilized is a perfect word for that. We don't know for sure, and they've got injuries. Ed Oliver, Matt Milano, even Teron Johnson, we don't know.
But they told a bad team that they were bad,
mm-hmm.
And here comes another bad team. One that might actually objectively be worse.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get more on this matchup. Bills do have practice later today, and we had our first injury report yesterday. Sal Capaccio will join the show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
There it is.
You know the jingle. It is Dolphins week, and it is a short week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bills have already had a walkthrough practice yesterday. We ran through some of those injuries earlier on, and the Bills are back to work today. So with that, we welcome in on this beautiful Tuesday morning to the Western Hotline, Sal Capaccio. Sal, how we doing, man?
Pretty good, guys. Pretty good. Good morning to you.
Good morning. So, Sal, we were having some fun. Before we get to the Dolphins, me and Derek were having some fun in the break looking at the stat sheet you threw up on Twitter, comparing from week one to week two. And while there's been some stats that have gone like way in a positive direction for the Bills, some have not, namely the rush defense for how and they did well in week two, but the week one performance was so tough. It's gonna be sticking for a little while.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it just shows to show you how many how things can swing after mm-hmm. such a small sample size, right? It's crazy. They went from 30th to 8th in yards per game allowed, which is crazy. They go from 16th passing yards per game to first overall because they played the New York Jets, obviously, and Justin Fields couldn't complete a pass. I mean, pretty crazy. So, look, I think that if you look at these stats right now and where they are, I think you're feeling pretty good about kind of where the defense has settled, except for, of course, the run defense, which is still last in the league in yards per play and 31st in yards per game. You'd like to shore that up, especially against a Dolphins team that's going to want to run against them. But passing defense, suddenly first in the league in passing yards per game against the middle of the pack in passing yards per play. So those are good numbers. And then you look at the points scored, 35.5 per game over two games. The Bills score 30 points or more in each of their first two games. That's obviously something you like. But what I'm impressed with, guys, is they scored 30 points last week, and Josh Allen didn't even account for any of them, and they still did that.
And like, Sal, that was something, and it's almost perfect that it came after the Ravens game, where you could argue that was maybe Josh Allen's finest hour in a regular season game. And then he follows it up by, he's fine. He has a really good rush early in the game. He's got a few good throws, but maybe the best throw comes from his backup quarterback because he's got bloody / broken nose. I think that was perfect for a lot of Bills fans to maybe breathe a sigh of relief of, oh yeah, he doesn't have to win us every single game. He kind of at times can just be almost the bad definition of a game manager, where he's there running the offense and doesn't have to do anything maybe that special.
For sure. I mean, that's kind of the way that the Bills love to script it. If we all love to see Josh Allen atop the statistical leaderboards and see him getting the ground and air player of the week nominee and the AFC offensive player of the week award and things. Yeah, it's great. He's the league MVP for a reason. But also, let's remember, I know this sounds crazy, one of the reasons he is the league MVP, he understands what he needs to do or not do in each game. And the Bills understand that. And in this game, they didn't need him to do much. This was a game where they went into New York and said, we're going to control the line of scrimmage. We're going to control this game on defense. And then our offense can kind of, you know, basically control with the running game and make sure that we don't have to put Josh in harm's way and put him back there. And, you know, the Jets have some pretty good pass rushers. And actually, I thought that they did a nice job on the interior, especially getting after Josh a little bit early in the game. So it was nice to see that. And, you know, the Bills leave that game with Josh Allen having very average type of numbers for a passer. But at the same time, you look up and it's 30 points on the scoreboard because James Cook and the rest of the offense did their job.
I was just going to mention that the Bills did not have the best of rushing games last week. But then back on Sunday, there it is. The Bills find themselves the balance that they would like to have in their offense again. And while Allen doesn't have to do much, and even more so, I thought the protection was a little bit of a struggle. It's good to see the Bills getting the ground game back on track.
For sure. And even in game one, I think what they really tried to do was, again, control the game a little bit with the ground game and then wait for the Ravens to make a mistake. The problem was the Ravens never made a mistake until the very end, obviously, when the Bills took advantage. The Jets made plenty of mistakes, right? The Jets 3-and-out and then the fumble right away in the first series of the game. When the other team is making mistakes, and guys, I mean, I'm sure you saw earlier this week, the Bills, you know, knock on wood, they have now the record for the longest streak ever in NFL history in the Super Bowl era of not losing the turnover battle, right? So if you can do that and wait for the other team to make a mistake, generally it's going to happen when you're not making them. And in the Ravens game, it didn't happen. So they kind of couldn't really play like that the whole game. And then it will be, against the Jets, it was like that, where they, you know, made mistakes and the Bills capitalized. And you like to see that running game. And yes, they were benefited by two very long runs, 40-plus yard runs, but they count too, right? I mean, that's what you have James Cook for, and Josh Allen can always bust off a long run. I mean, James Cook, 44-yard touchdown run, pretty incredible, actually. I mean, yes, I know it inflates the stats a little bit, if you will, that way, but it's also the kind of run that's why James Cook is getting paid what he's getting paid, because he can take one to the house like that at any minute.
Yes, and last thing on that before we get really into Dolphins week and the injury report from yesterday. Sal, it feels like at times with Cook, he was not the guy that ran the quote-unquote fastest 40 time. Like, he's not like the 4.2 guy, he's not Chris Johnson. But man, in-game, Sal, there are so many plays like that where it does just feel like he's faster than everybody. Game speed, call it what you want, but like, that's the kind of play. He had no business scoring, and yet by the middle of it, he's just running away from guys. It was so impressive by Cook.
Yeah, no doubt. For him to be wrapped up there by the ankle, off balance, to be able to get out of that. I mean, really, guys, I think he has the best vision I've seen from Bills running back since LeSean McCoy. And I know that wasn't long ago, but really, two of the best I've ever seen at it. Mm-hmm. LeSean McCoy and James Cook. I mean, they can see guys like coming out of their ear holes. You know what I mean? Yeah, like there's guys in the periphery and they just know where guys are. If you watch that run from the angle of like behind the defense from the all 22 or whatever, I don't know how he sees the guy coming at him. It's incredible. It's the same way with Josh Allen feeling Sauce Gardner coming at him, right? And Josh spins out of it. Like some great running backs and some great quarterbacks, obviously, they just have this knack and this feel for understanding where people are around them. And for a quarterback, it's generally in the pocket. It's a muddy pocket. They can still stand in there and make throws. You know, Josh felt Sauce Gardner bearing down on him, and I don't know how he did because he was able to spin away from him and get a nice gain out of it. And then in that one, you see James Cook do this all the time. James Cook gets to the hole, and then he has this stutter step where he moves around somebody because somehow he just feels them. He sees them somehow. I don't know how it is.
Yeah, it's so much fun to watch. Two, though, this week is, of course, a short week. Bills play on Thursday night hosting the Miami Dolphins, potentially the last time the Dolphins will be here at the old Highmark Stadium, depending on how the season does turn out. But so far, Sal, to start for the Dolphins, it's been about as bad as the vibes felt in the summer.
I agree. I think everybody's kind of waiting here for the inevitability of the Dolphins to just kind of really be bad enough where maybe they make a change. At coach, I don't think it has to happen quite yet, and I don't think it needs to happen this week because I don't think the Dolphins, we should be thinking about them coming to Buffalo and just rolling over. That's not going to happen. This is Miami against Buffalo. I mean, this is a storied rivalry, and oh, by the way, the last time the Dolphins most likely are going to be playing inside this stadium. They're fighting for their season. They are looking to do anything they can to stay alive, to save their own jobs. It's coaches. It's players. So, yeah, I mean, it's not going well right now. There's no doubt. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, my God, the Dolphins, you know, any given Sunday, yeah, any given Thursday, right? That is true. But I'm not going to sit here and say the Dolphins are the Ravens or the Dolphins are the Eagles or the Dolphins are the Chiefs. They're not right now. But it's a divisional game. It's Miami and Buffalo. And, you know, things can happen. The Miami Dolphins were leading the Bills at halftime of a playoff game here at Highmark Stadium not too long ago when nobody really gave them a shot with Skylar Thompson at quarterback. You just don't know what's going to happen in these games. And I do think, though, that if they come here to Buffalo on Thursday night and it starts to get away early, things could get very, very badly for them. But if they can control the game with the running game, which they're going to want to do, then, you know, that's their path to try and stay in this one and see what happens.
Sal, I want to talk to you about some of the injuries on the Dolphins, but real quick, because this was sort of the topic of the day. We've taken a few callers as well, and I've really enjoyed kind of the difference in generational age groups of where you sit with the Dolphins rivalry. For me, yep. I've always been very open about the fact that, you know, growing up, I knew of Bills Dolphins, and I didn't like them because they're a division rival, but my hatred is far more for the New England Patriots. Like, I hope nothing goes well for that organization as long as I am breathing air. Like, the Tom Brady era hurt me to my core. The Dolphins, it's a divisional rival. I feel a lot like them with the Jets until recently, the last few years, with them being in these close matchups, the division races, what have you. I've come to enjoy it. But at least this year, I was starting to wonder for maybe some Bills fans because of the fact that in the 2020s and even going into the 2010s, the Bills, I think, have won 13 of the last 14. They're at least 10-1 in the 2020s. Does it still have the same juice, the same fire for people? And the two callers we took, absolutely. They're showing up to the Dolphins, you know, funeral in a three-piece suit, as sharp as they can be. And Sal, I mean, I heard you right there. I imagine you said the same.
It never goes away. It never goes away. It'll be like that for you when you get older with the Patriots, no matter how good or bad the Bills or the Patriots are, right? I mean, it just will never go away from you. You know, for a certain age group, it's the Ottawa Senators for the Sabres, right? Or it's the Carolina Hurricanes. For me, it's the Boston Bruins, right? I mean, because that was when your impressionable ages and those memories that just get implanted in you. And in the 80s, it was the Bruins holding the Sabres back every year and all the fights and all that. And it was the Miami Dolphins. I grew up just with everybody telling you how much you're supposed to hate and how much they do hate the Miami Dolphins because of what happened in the 1970s. And that was that generation's Patriots. People growing up and saying, oh my God, they can't beat this team. What do you have to do with Don Shula and beating them? And then they get Dan Marino, right? And you're like, oh my God. But then the Bills get Jim Kelly and things kind of change. Guys, I remember, it's a true story. I remember going to I played Cheektowaga Little Loop football, okay? And we had our banquet at the end of the year. This has got to be early 80s, probably 82, 83, somewhere in there. We have our banquet at the end of the year. And the Bills, they used to bring Buffalo Bills players in. At that time, it was like guys like Fred Smirlis, Jim Haslett, Lucius Sanford. I mean, there was like Eugene Marv, guys that you might not know their names, but they came to like the banquet to say hi to the kids and be part of a round table or whatever. And I remember people, hey, does anybody have any questions for the Bills players? And people would raise their hand. And I'm not kidding you. Like, every question was about how much they... What can we do about beating the Dolphins? Why is Don Shula on the competition committee? How does the league allow that to happen? What? How much do you hate? I mean, it's crazy, right? That's how much it was just implanted in your brain. No matter where you went, you couldn't escape it all the time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So as I got older, that's really what it was. In 1990, the Bills have a chance in the playoffs to play the Dolphins, and they're both, you know, one game away from the AFC Championship, 44-34 in the snow, wild game, back and forth. Bills go to the AFC Championship to take on the Raiders the next week, but that was a wild game. And then we've had some great ones over the last few years. Tyler Bass walk-off field goal on a Saturday night here not too long ago, and that was a special moment. And, of course, everybody – probably who's listening, most people can remember Brian Cox and everything that went along with him inside the stadium and the double bird coming out of the tunnel to the Bills fans and the fight with Carwell Gardner and the ejection. Man, it just gets me riled up thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, on a more practical note here, Sal, the Bills injury report, it is, of course, something that is going to be looked at here. Matt Milano, Ed Oliver, the ones that did not practice. A couple players were limited. Taron Johnson, Cam Lewis, Shaq Thompson. Jordan Hancock participating in full, so good news for him, though.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll get an injury update today. So just so everybody's aware, you know, Tuesday's normally a day you don't even hear me usually because
right.
It's kind of the day where the team resets and everybody's kind of off and waiting. But there's a Thursday game here. So just so everybody's aware, we're going to hear from Sean McDermott in about an hour from now. And then the team will be on the practice field. They'll have practice. We'll hear from players later. But we will get an injury update from Sean McDermott. Now, the actual injury designations won't come out until tomorrow for the game. Sean will be with me on this show, Extra Point Show, probably a little after 10 a.m. So we'll find out. But what are we looking for when it comes to these injuries? Well, you're right. Jordan Hancock, a full participant. That's great news for the Bills, obviously. But in the meantime, not good news to see Matt Milano did not practice. He's got a pectoral injury. We found that out from Sean McDermott yesterday. That could go one of two ways, guys, right? It could be something minor that he might miss a little bit of time, a couple of weeks. I mean, it's a Thursday game. You'd expect maybe not playing this week. How long after that? Could also be something more major where he's out long term. I mean, this is a type of injury you just don't know which way it goes. We'll get more information today from Sean McDermott. Ed Oliver still with the ankle injury. I'd suspect that he's not playing this week based on the timeline and when that happened. And then Cam Lewis and Taron Johnson both limited. I think that's good news early in the week that they're both already limited, especially Taron Johnson after missing Sunday, trending towards Thursday night.
That's pretty much all we got there on the Barnstorm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnstorm Injured for Help. Call 1-800-8-MILLION. Sal, it's going to be an interesting one to see what happens here. The Dolphins have played the Bills close, as you've mentioned, four of the last six. Despite all being Bills wins, they've been within one score. So we'll see what happens here on Thursday night. But other than that, we'll let you get going so that you can be ready to hear from Coach here in about an hour's time.
Yep, you got it, guys. We'll have Sean McDermott, and of course that'll be available at WGR550.com and on the Odyssey app. And of course, follow me along at Sal Sports, and I will have information on what he says.
All right, there is Sal Camacho there on the West Her Hotline. We'll take a quick time out here. We come back, we'll wrap up today's show here on a Tuesday. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Robert Redford, if you have not seen the news from today, did pass away at the age of 89. Obviously famous for the movie The Natural that was actually filmed in parts here in Buffalo. Also for me, though, real quick, I do want to mention this because I love Robert Redford. A lot of his movies are ones that I enjoy watching. I usually actually like a lot of older movies. One of my favorite, if I had to go through a top 10 list, though, All the President's Men. Absolutely winds up there. I watched it, quote unquote, a little bit later in life. I was in college the first time I saw it. Obviously, being a journalism student, that movie is basically the Bible for you. And I could rewatch it every year. I love All the President's Men. He plays Bob Woodward in that alongside Dustin Hoffman, who plays Carl Bernstein. It is, of course, the famous Watergate scandal, breaking into the Washington Post, the whole thing. Brilliant actor. Kept working really up until the end of his life. And yeah, there's been like some, like I saw this morning and I'm like, man, ooh, that one actually kind of stings a little bit here. It's a lot like for me, Val Kilmer from a few months ago. Like now I really, Val Kilmer passed away and I immediately watched Tombstone. I had to watch Tombstone.
Right.
Tonight might be one of those, me and the girlfriend, you know, settling on the couch. What are we watching? Any sports? No. No, no, no. You're going to watch history right here, baby. We're watching All the President's Men. She's going to hit me, but it's fine. Like I'm going to get punched in the arm, but she's going to enjoy it. It's a great movie. It's such a great movie. Robert Redford passed away today at the age of 89. Had a fun day today. We had a really fun day. Dolphins week, practice coming up in a little bit. Head coach Sean McDermott will be speaking with the media about 12:45. Sal is going to keep you posted on that at Sal Sports. And, of course, we'll also have that entire press conference meeting with you up at our website, WGR550.com, or on the Odyssey app. And we also talked to some fans today, getting connected with them. And it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at NorthtownKia.com. I loved how fired up Sal got about the rivalry and how much it meant to him. And I also really like the Sabres. The look of it through the Sabres, where there are different rivals that that get you fired up for it through
like
different generations.
There's a lot that hate the Leafs. There's a lot that hate the Senators. There's
Philadelphia.
Boston, Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much – if there's one thing that should and will never go away in sports, it is hate.
Hate watching is the
absolutely how it goes.
It's the best thing to do. I've said it. It's why I like – college sports so much. Those rivalries run deep. It's also a big reason why I got into soccer was I loved how deep some of those rivalries went and even like to some sense politically stated and all that stuff. Like those ones are hate-filled. It's hate watching is one of the best feelings with sports.
And the next time we're on is on game day on Thursday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But for the moment, coming up next, it is Sabres Live here on WGR.
Paccio here. Now, when it comes to celebrating life's most precious moments, go forth to Firth Jewelers. Whether you're ready to pop the question with an engagement ring or cherish the years gone by with a timeless anniversary band, Firth has the selection that's truly going to capture your emotions. If you're not quite sure what you're looking for, don't worry. They're going to take the time to educate and guide you, ensuring your choice is as special as the moment itself. So for all the moments of your life, go forth to Firth. They are my jeweler and my family's jeweler. Make them your jeweler. Firth Jewelers, Military Road in Niagara Falls.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.